capitals. He is the Reverend Billy Graham, the young North Carolina preacher who has been hailed as the century's most dynamic evangelist. His message is simple, a fervent call to Christianity as the remedy for modern evils. Transcends sect and creed as he leads the vast audience in prayer. This is a crusade for the soul of the world's greatest city.
So that was the introduction to today's Legacy Spotlight. Of course, we've been talking about, you know, these things about looking about our impact over time. Right, because everything is based upon, you know, the amount of time that we have, but yet we look at all the people that have preceded us and we want to learn from what they have done in order to do a better job about just, you know, having to create a lasting impression. So what we're going to talk about today, of course, that was Billy Graham, Madison Square Garden. And we started looking on YouTube for videos, you know, like on date night. What you want to do is you want to watch Billy Graham Crusade videos, right? Yeah. But actually, once you start dating, you really figure out, oh my gosh, that was 60 years ago. Mm-hmm. That was 60 years ago. So you look upon those things that he has been doing and think, wow. And the fact is, not so big that 60 years ago he was doing crusades in New York City, Madison Square Garden. But he'd been doing it for 10 years prior. So this year, Billy Graham is going to turn 99. Wow. Is that awesome? So you start digging around a little bit and you're humbled by looking at this really awesome legacy. Of course, he's been a powerful force for Christianity, but you know, I think we all need to focus in on just what he has been trying to do for 70 years, and that's lead people into a relationship with Christ, amen? Amen. And that's something we're all called to do. Just take a look at that. Oh, let me see. I'm gonna try to do this without. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. He was born in 1918, so he's gonna be 100 in the year 2018, oh my gosh. It's coming up so quickly. The paper is my nemesis. Look, you don't help me with this. Should have practiced this more. I just need that paper on the back. Ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. That's that one. Thank you. So William Franklin Billy Graham was born November 7, 1918. And the thing about it was, he just sort of wandered in to this big tent revival. Has anyone ever been to like a tent revival? And it was Mordecai Ham was the guy who had this tent revival. And this, you know, farm boy basically wandered in. Just wandered in, you know. And he was saved at just this very humble congregated meeting of a tent revival.
Establishment.
I'm sorry?
Establishment. At this very sense of establishment, you were saying. No, is what you were saying, he had a revival or establishment?
He was born in the river, so.
Just let her finish, Kelly.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're asking.
I don't know where Bubba is at.
We'll talk about it after church.
Where Bubba is in the establishment? Is it an establishment?
An establishment.
It was just a tent that Bubba said he wandered into.
Yes.
Another preacher was preaching and he wandered in there.
Okay, that's what I'm gonna clarify.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about Billy Graham is just being in ministry that long. He was a spiritual advisor to many, many American presidents, all the way from Dwight D. Eisenhower until Nixon. I mean, just one guy to have that kind of an impact is just very humbling. Because, in fact, being in ministry that long, the statistics are staggering. He has preached one guy, and this is a pretty good estimate, to 3.2 million people. Can you imagine? But that's not it. But wait, there's more. The fact is, the impact of that is that 2.2 billion people have been saved as a result of his efforts. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, we look upon that and we marvel. But the fact is that we're really no different in that the things that we are called to do are the same things that he was called to do. He just did a really, really good job at them. And I want to look now, because having a career of that length, of course, I always take the bait and I try to do something more technologically advanced than I'm really prepared to do. But now, after this 70 years, I want us to look where he is now. Of course, we all see the fiery young preacher, but where is he now? And I want to look at the before and after, if you would, just to really let it sink in, the importance of the legacy. And so we're going to do another video, this being while Larry's getting it fired up, and hopefully it'll run. It's a project that he's done within the last 2 years. I believe that now he is officially retired, but he did one last project called The Cross, which many of you might have remembered seeing. It was televised. And he had his last, it was like a week-long event, and they tried to do a lot of tie-ins. And this is the one from that particular, The Cross.
As I look back over my life, it's full of surprises. I never thought I would become friends with people in different countries all over the world. I see how God's hand guided me. And I began preaching many years ago. It is not with any thoughts that I've been preaching to large audiences.
God said, I love you.
offensive because it confronts people, even so. It's a confrontation that all of us must face. I look out across an audience and I stand up to preach. And I think of all the people with their different backgrounds and their various needs. And I know that they are objects of God's mighty love. To the point that he gave his son, his only son, to die upon a cross. And the cross was the most terrible form of execution by the Romans for criminals. And Jesus endured all that in our place because of our sins. We deserve the cross. We deserve hell. We deserve judgment and all that that means. I know that many people dispute that. People don't want to hear that they're sinners. To many people, it's an offense. The cross is offensive. Because it directly confronts the evils which dominate so much of this world. One reason that the cross is a defense to people is because it demands, doesn't suggest, it demands a new lifestyle in all of us. Sin is a disease in the human heart. It affects the mind and the will and the emotions. Every part of our being is affected by this disease. How can we break this bondage? How can we be set free? God helps us break those chains. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Everything becomes new. It can make you a totally new person. On that cross, God was laying on Jesus our sins. They not only put nails in his hands, but before that, they scourged him. A Roman scourge was a terrible thing. They took whips and pellets on these whips and beat a person almost to death. That cross and made him carry the cross, which was in his weakened condition, was almost impossible. But he carried that cross to a place outside of Jerusalem, and then they put nails in his hands. But that was not the real suffering. The real suffering is when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that terrible moment, he and God, the Father, were suffering. He shed his blood, and the shedding of that blood carries with him God's very life. There is no other way of salvation except through the cross of Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The only way to the Father, Father God, is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, why Jesus? He's the only one that was born in this world without sin. But more than that, he was a righteous one. And when you come to him, you're clothed in his righteousness. God no longer sees your sin. He no longer sees your own heart. He sees Jesus. Repent means to change your way. of living and turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ and say, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. And I know that you're the only one that can change me. Today, I'm asking you to put your trust in Christ. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. Sentence by sentence after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name.
Just to resist the temptation to think that that's Billy Graham, because the same thing that Billy Graham does and still does is something that we all can do. In fact, I just wanted to share with you some pictures from our family album. There is, in 1972, Linda somewhere in there in Cleveland, Ohio, at a Billy Graham crusade. Wow. And this picture is the only one I have, and this is before selfies were invented. No, we took the pictures of the back of people's heads. But what you can see, very tiny little Billy Graham up on the podium there. Because as you remember, how many of you have been to a Billy Graham crusade? Yes. That he does what? He calls everyone down from the stadium. So they're all in the infield, right? And that was a long time ago. In fact, 45 years. But that same power still is something that we all have. So what I wanted to do is I just wanted to recap, because we have talked about these things before. And if you recall, oh my gosh, it's already been 6 years, we did a program called How to Share Your Faith. Do you, how many people recall us doing How to Share Your Faith? Yeah, I know you were here. I had pictures of some of y'all that I thought, I don't need to put those in there. They'll remember. I remember nobody's here. They just simply want to recap, because it's really not complicated. Of course, he did a very good illustration just right at the end there. But it's not, you don't have to be Billy Graham to lead people to the Lord. Amen?
That's right.
So we're going to do a little recap, okay? Because y'all remember us studying this. Three steps. Lord, I need you. Please
forgive
me, anyone but Don, please. Come into my heart. That's it, right? Those are the three steps. But how many of us do it? I have not done it in quite a while. I have done, and there's nothing to compare with doing that, leading someone to the Lord. because you're changing their eternal destiny. And what could possibly compare with that? Need for giving God. But I just, you know, I just wanted to wrap up, actually. It was something. Actually, it was something that I posted on Facebook. You know, where they like say, you did this 4 years ago today. But there was a funny, I'm just going to share a funny little story. So, because this is heavy stuff. But it was a story about Billy Graham riding in a limousine. And he was 83 at the time. And he said to the driver, I've never driven a limousine, do you mind? And they're like, no, no, Mr. Graham, feel free. And so, I mean, the joke goes that he's driving the limousine a little bit fast and he gets pulled over. And so the policeman gets out of the car and comes and walks up to the window and says, do you know how fast you were going? You were going 70 at a 55. And he looks in and he sees Billy Graham. And he says, oh, Mr. Graham, I'm so sorry. And lets him off with a warning. And so when the officer went back to, you know, report on why he had ticketed this person that he pulled over, he said, Wolf, was it the governor? He's like, was it the mayor? No. Was it the governor? No. Well, my goodness, who was it? And he said, well, you know, it wasn't any of those things, it was someone more important than that. And I go, well, who do you think was in the car? Who do you think was in the car? And I said, well, I don't know who was in the car, but, you know, it was Billy Graham was driving, so I assume it was Jesus Christ. Yeah. So, you know, just, it's a very heavy burden for us to share our faith, and it's not easy. It's not easy, is it? But I want to just encourage us to continue to do it. And looking upon someone who has just been doing it faithfully for that long is humbling. But it's nothing that we are not able to do and called to do. And so I really hope, and my encouragement would be, that we all continue to share our faith.
Amen.
Amen. So, Heavenly Father, we're just going to wrap it up. And we're just so thankful for the opportunity to look upon the legacy of someone who has been so faithful for so long. But I don't want it to discourage us. I want it to encourage us to press forward. Whether it has changed however many billion people, or it's just changed one heart, our very own, we need to just continue to do what we've been called to do. And, you know, my prayer is for our humble little congregation to really grab hold of that. Because we all are in need of a Savior, whether we're Billy Graham or whether we're just some person, some anonymous person. None of us are anonymous to Jesus Christ. So we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity to continue to press forward in the hopes of becoming a legacy of our own for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Oh, birthdays, anniversaries. Do we have any?
Do we have this?
No, let's see.